Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C, so markguberti.com/book. And now, let's dive right into the show. For episode 84 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about how to make over $100,000 per month by blogging with our guest, Michelle Schroeder Gardner. Michelle created the Making Sense of Sense blog. She started her blog as a way to track her finances when she had $38,000 in student loan debt. By improving her finances, she was able to cut that number down to zero in just 7 months. Now she makes over $100,000 every month from her blog. She posts monthly income updates where she discusses how she makes her revenue every month. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Michelle to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Michelle, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast, and I really look forward to diving into just tapping into that potential for blogging revenue, but I'd love to get some backstory first. So can you take us back in time to when you first started the blog and had $38,000 in student loan debt and some of the thoughts that were running through your head?
Yeah. So I started Making Sense of Sense back in August of 2011, and it was all just a hobby back then. I didn't know that blogs can make money or anything like that. It was truly just a hobby. I actually started it anonymously as well. So it was just a way for me to talk about my financial situation without any pressure of anyone really knowing who I am and being able to openly talk about my financial issues so that I could be more open and treat it more as like a journal. And after around 6 months of starting it, I actually earned my first $100 through my blog, and that was through a blogging friend of mine connecting me with an advertiser. And then it quickly just spiraled out of there. Around 2 years after I started Making Sense of Sense, I left my day job as a financial analyst to blog full time. And it's been a little over 4 years now since I quit my job.
And ever since you made that jump, your blog's now been able to get over 400,000 monthly views, 300,000 plus monthly visitors. And that is a lot of visibility for your blog. And I'm wondering, what are the top traffic sources that are driving in all of that traffic?
So the top traffic sources are definitely like social media. So number one would definitely be Pinterest. Number two is Facebook. And then number three is like a mix of direct referrals, such as from other people linking to me and people coming in through my email list.
Thank you for sharing with us those traffic sources, because when you see someone who has this much visibility, you definitely want to know what those traffic sources are so you have an idea of how you can grow. And one of the things that I've seen often on your blog, a common theme of SEO being very important. And I'm wondering, how exactly did you acquire your SEO education? Were there certain habits? Was there experimentation? How did you get SEO savvy?
I actually don't really do any SEO on my blog. Everything's pretty natural. I get a little bit of Google traffic every month, but it's nothing to write home about. It's definitely not my largest traffic source or anything like that. It's probably my, I don't know, probably the sixth biggest traffic source. It's less than 100,000 monthly clicks over from Google, probably more around 75,000 clicks a month. So, I mean, it's definitely a good amount, but it's not something that I think about when I'm writing. Instead, I write more naturally and organically, and SEO traffic still comes to me, even though I don't write for the engines.
That is interesting, because I know you get a lot of traffic from SEO. So for some reason, I thought that was something that you invested a lot of time in, but apparently not, but you still generate a lot of traffic from Google. I mean, 75,000 clicks a month is something that a lot of people would really want to do. And one of the things that really fascinates me is that I see you promoting a lot of affiliate offers. Sometimes it's someone else, sometimes it's your own product. And you say affiliate revenue has a big impact on your total revenue. So Do you make money by promoting offers directly on your blog? Like, is that the primary way, or is it mostly through your email list?
So it's a mixture of both. If you're interested in affiliate marketing, a shameless plug right now, I definitely recommend checking out my affiliate marketing course, makingsenseofaffiliatemarketing.com. And I teach my exact strategies in there. So I earn affiliate income through both my blog and my email list. If you want to earn affiliate market income too, I recommend taking part in both. Your email list is great because that's where like your most loyal subscribers are. Those people want to hear from you. If someone's letting you email them willingly, like they want to hear from you and they're interested in purchasing products through you, they're interested in listening to what you have to say. So that's like a really great way to earn affiliate income. And then I also earn affiliate income through my blog as well. And that's through like blog posts, reviews, tutorials, and stuff like that. I would say it's a pretty even mix between my blog and my email list.
That is interesting because a lot of people, they say the email list is your most valuable asset, which is it definitely is in terms of assets for your business. But it's interesting how you're able to make a pretty much split income from both the blog and your email list. But in order to get people on your email list, you have to turn more of your visitors into subscribers. So what are you doing on your blog to turn more of your visitors and get them to become subscribers?
So some of the things I'm doing are, so one of the top things I do to grow my email list is that I have freebie opt-ins on my blog. So if someone clicks on a article making sense of sense, they will probably find some kind of freebie opt-in so that they can opt into my email list. And sometimes that's a free email course. So I have like a how to start a blog free course. I also have the Master Your Money free course. Then I also give out free printables for signing up for my email list. Like you might get it like a free budget spreadsheet, free budget printable, a money savings challenge printable. And the last one is affiliate marketing cheat sheet that I also have too. So freebie opt-ins are definitely like my favorite way of getting people to subscribe to your email list because then they are used to receiving emails from you. They see what kind of quality you are giving out on your email list and they are just more likely to subscribe that way.
And when you do promote offers to get people to opt in, do you find that it's better to promote a free course or a free ebook or something else?
So for my freebie opt-in, I find that a free email course is really great because your readers will get used to seeing a lot of emails from you. So that just kind of opens up like the doors to them being used to receiving more than like one email a week from you. So that's really good. Freebies such as like a printable are great too, because sometimes people just want a printable. So, I mean, I definitely recommend having like a good mix. I have all different kinds and I'm always testing them to see which one converts the best. So yeah, I would definitely recommend like a good mix of everything you can possibly do probably.
And I've done some research on your blog and one of the things that you said in your November 2017 report is that you mentioned you made $16,700 from sponsorships and advertising and then an additional $2,992 from display advertising. And I was wondering if you could share with us not only how you get these ads up on your blog, but also why you continue using them, because some people would think that like ads like those would distract people, but you're able to generate a lot of revenue from them. So I was wondering if you could talk about those points.
Yeah. So a lot of people do ask me like, if you have display ads, why aren't you earning more or why do you still have them? So for me, display ads, they're not intrusive. So on Making Sense of Sense, I usually have just like two or three on each page. And they're not like in your face or not pop-ups. There's no music with them or anything like that. They're very natural and organically placed. So I have no problem with them. And it's very passive income. So that's great too. For me, I wouldn't add more display ads to each article Making Sense of Sense because they do compete with your affiliate income. So for me, it's all about having a healthy balance. If you wanted to earn more display advertising, then you would definitely want more. But for me, I'm happy with what I'm getting from it and it's not, bothering or intrusive to my readers at all.
And you mentioned how you're trying to strike that perfect balance between the display advertising, sponsorships, and affiliate marketing. And affiliate marketing is one of your top sources, if not the top source of your income. So I'm wondering, what have you been able to do to increase the revenue that you get from affiliate marketing?
Yeah, so I'm always looking to increase my affiliate income. Some of the things I'm always looking to do is improving and increasing my email list, improving the traffic to Making Sense of Sense. And I really don't promote too heavily when it comes to affiliate offers to my email list. Like, I receive emails all the time from my readers saying, like, you actually don't earn that much money through affiliate income, because if you did, I would like receive more emails from you about things that you're selling. But no, it's all about doing it correctly. So for me, I am gradually starting to do it more just because my readers want me to review more products. So for me, I used to never email my readers about a specific product that I was promoting, but now I'm starting to do it around every other month to once a month. Before, it was just like a couple times a year. So that's one thing I'm doing right now to improve my affiliate income, and that is giving my readers more value and talking more about affiliate products.
That is definitely a very valuable approach, because it's your recommendation. And I feel like people talk more about training courses and their products than like a tool or a service that you have an affiliate link for. And some people who are listening to this right now, they want to get started, but they feel like they don't have many page views to really jump into this. So what's your advice for people who don't have as many page views but still want to make a big splash with affiliate marketing?
So my top tip would be to grow your email list. So even if you don't have a ton of page views, try to find different ways to grow your email list. So you might want to create a freebie opt-in and link to it on Pinterest, create a pinnable image for it so that people on Pinterest can head on over to your freebie opt-in and sign up. Start creating Facebook ads to get more people to your freebie opt-in. Definitely create more content so you can get more people to that freebie opt-in so they can subscribe to your email list. And I think that's the best way to grow your affiliate income. And then my other tip would be to, I call it improving your top 10. So no matter how many blog posts that you have, or how little traffic, or how big traffic you're is, how big of a traffic source that you have, definitely go to Google Analytics, go to your top 10 blog posts, and add an affiliate link or two to each of those. Now, you might not want to directly link to an affiliate product on each of those, but say if you have a blog post, you might want to link to an affiliate review on your blog. So with people's top 10 blog posts, many people don't actually link anywhere in them. And that's like really holding them back, leaving money on the table and so on and so on. Whereas if you should find your top 10 and actually link to affiliate links or related posts, you can get readers more interested in your blog, more interested in what you're selling, more interested in what you are trying to teach them about as well.
Michelle, thank you for sharing with us how I can continue to optimize affiliate marketing, even if we don't have many page views. That email list being something really important. And Pinterest is your strong suit. And I'm wondering if we could explore Pinterest a little more. I mean, I know the pictures are really important, but are there any other ways to optimize our content to perform very well on Pinterest?
Yeah, so pictures are definitely very important. You definitely want a vertical image. A lot of people just think, oh, I'll just throw any image on Pinterest and pin it. Pinterest does not work that way. It's very visual, and you need vertical images. Horizontal images do not work well on Pinterest at all. I've never heard of a horizontal picture like doing well or going viral on Pinterest. So, I mean, your image is extremely important. You want something eye-catching. You also want your description to be important as well. Now, Pinterest is always changing though, so you always want to make sure you're up to date when it comes to it. Some people say you want a long description, others say just have the title in the description. And then there's, of course, hashtags that are coming into play right now too on Pinterest. That's brand new as well. So I mean, Pinterest is kind of hard to teach, especially over a podcast, but I would say the number one thing you want to do would be to create really good images. And if you have a blog, go back into your blog post and add a Pinterest image to as many of your blog posts as you can. Right now, my virtual assistant is going through like my over 1,000 blog posts that don't have Pinterest images, and she's slowly adding them every day. So it's definitely a work in progress, but it's well worth it.
And I do find that really interesting that you're going back to your older content and adding pictures that would convert better on Pinterest. Are you replacing the picture on the top of your blog post, or are you adding one at the like bottom? Where's that picture going?
Usually I just add it to the top. If there is an old Pinterest image already on it and it's kind of doing well, I usually just leave that one and I'll just throw up a new Pinterest image at the very end of the blog post. But I mean, I don't really have a method or a reasoning for why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just trying to make sure that there's a picture on all of them, even the old ones.
Now, there are a lot of listeners who they're creating content. Many of them have blogs and they hear about someone making $100,000 per month with a blog. That's quite the milestone to reach and a lot of inspiration because we see you being able to do it. And we just believe that if Michelle can do it, then we can definitely do it too. But obviously not everyone's making that type of revenue from their blogs. So what do you believe holds most people back from reaching that level of potential and being able to make $100,000 per month with their blogs?
There's definitely a lot of things that go into it. So one of the things I notice is that some bloggers, a decent amount of bloggers, see other bloggers as competition. So I'm in the financial niche when it comes to blogging, and the financial group, the financial community is like really close. Everyone is very supportive of one another, and I think that's why we do so well. Some other blogging topics, they see other bloggers as their competition. They don't like want to link to them. They don't want to help them out or anything like that. And I think that really holds bloggers back. There's enough room in this huge world for tons of bloggers. So there's no need to see another blogger as your competition. Instead, you should work with them and improve one another, give each other tips, help one another. And that's one thing that I definitely think holds people back. Another thing that I think holds people back is making excuses. I am a big believer that everyone makes excuses for something. I've made tons of excuses for things, and that has really held me back in the past because I thought things weren't possible. I didn't try hard enough. I gave myself excuses for why I shouldn't try. And it just leads to a lot of fear, lots of negativeness, and I think it just really holds people back.
And I really agree with how bloggers, some bloggers tend to view others as their competition, while the most successful bloggers talk about things like connecting with influencers and expanding your network. So in your particular case, you have a very friendly community, but regardless of what type of community we're in the blogging niche, we still have to reach out to people in order to expand our network. So how would you recommend reaching out to bloggers in your niche and collabing with them?
Yeah, so there's a ton of different ways that you could do that. So my favorite blogging conference each year, it's actually the only one I've ever attended, but I've attended it 5 or 6 times now, and that is FinCon. That is the Financial Bloggers Conference. So I think that's the going to a conference, whatever your blogging topic is or whatever your reasoning for wanting to go to a conference is, going to a conference is a great way to network with others, other online influencers, companies that you might want to partner with on your blog and so on and so on. It's a great way to finally meet people in person. Blogging can kind of be a little impersonable just because you never actually meet people face to face very often. So when you can meet face to face, you're really grabbing a good opportunity to build a better relationship with people. So I always recommend in-person conferences. Another way to collaborate with other bloggers is to just reach out to them on social media, comment on their latest Instagram post, comment on their blog post. I always recommend giving away. A lot of bloggers will email me and they will ask me for help with things, which is great and all, but you should really give more than you take because that's how you are memorable. If someone emails me like 100 times, and a lot of times people don't ever say thank you, going as far as just saying thank you or something like that really goes a long way.
Michelle, thank you for providing those insights on how we can connect with other bloggers in our niches. And you mentioned how we're doing all these different things. We're going to events, we're leaving comments, we're really taking the initiative to make these connections happen, but we also have to create content in our blogs. So how would you recommend juggling the content creation responsibility with networking and getting to know more bloggers in our respective niches?
So when it comes to creating content, so I always get asked, like, how do you have so many content ideas for Making Sense of Sense? Because I have been writing on it for over 6 years now. So my top tip is to survey your audience. What does your audience want to know? So that's always my number one answer for almost everything. Just email your audience, ask them on Facebook, ask them on Twitter or something else. What does your audience want to learn from you? And that's like a great way to come up with content ideas. Another way is to see so go to your Google Analytics and see what people are searching on your blog. Like, what's your top 10 blog posts? And then try to brainstorm other things that are related to that. And then another way I come up with content ideas is I have a running list in my phone and on my laptop full of like a couple hundred different ideas, just different ideas that I come up across from research that I read and so on and so on. So it's really easy to come up with content ideas.
And I mean, 6 years of one blog, one niche, I mean, you do have to think of a lot of ideas to continue providing valuable content for that long. And I'm wondering, how do you keep creating content at the pace you're creating and still being able to connect with new people and promote your content as well?
So I'm always finding new readers and stuff like that. Just being on social media really helps. So I'm always responding to comments in my Facebook community, on Instagram, on Facebook, and so on and so on. I'm always replying to comments. So that's always helping to build my readership and engage with people through my content.
And one of the things that all bloggers seem to face are different challenges along the journey. You could say that about any niche, any type of industry. So with that in mind, what is one big challenge that you have faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
That is a tough question. I probably say work-life balance when it comes to blogging. So blogging is a lot of fun and it's really great, but it's really hard to disconnect since all you really need is a laptop and internet. So for a while there, I had a tough time disconnecting and actually enjoying life outside of the blog and the laptop. Recently I've gotten much better. I started outsourcing. I have a virtual assistant. I have an editor. I have a few other people who I've hired too. So that really helps with the whole work-life balance thing. And then I also have a rule where I just try to enjoy the day every day. So I usually schedule things for early in the morning or later in the evening so that I can enjoy those daylight hours to actually go hiking, walk my dog and stuff like that. So work-life balance is something I'm always working on, but it's definitely gotten better over the years.
And the team is something that seems to come up again and again, where having a team behind you is really important for being able to accomplish big goals. And I'm wondering, how do you determine what team members would be a good fit for you to achieve your blogging goals?
So for me, I just find people who can complete the tasks that I need completed in a satisfactory or great way. So for me, my virtual assistant is my sister. I had a bunch of like tedious tasks that I was doing every single day that she was doing for her blog as well. So it was really easy for me to hire her because I knew that she would know how to do the things I wanted to do. And then my editor is actually my sister-in-law. She edits and goes through like all of proofreads, edits, and makes the flow better in all of my articles. So for her, I found her just because this is what she's majored in college, and she's just really good at writing. So I figured that she'd be a great fit. And then I also have a tech manager, and he is just really good at what he does. So of course I hired him. So for me, it's all about going into like your network and seeing who can do the tasks that you need to be done. And for the most part, everyone has like that network, and it's really easy to find too.
Michelle, thank you for sharing with us that how we're able to find great team members. And one of the questions that I enjoy asking because I'm a really big bookworm. I was wondering if you could share with us three great books that you could think of that would help us advance our businesses to the next level.
I actually do not read any business books, but I do know of like some great courses that could help if someone wanted to become a blogger or work online or whatever. So my favorite one would definitely be, shameless plug, my Making Sense Affiliate Marketing course. If you want to start a blog, a great overall blogging course would be Elite Blogging Academy, EBA in short. That is great for a brand new blogger or an intermediate blogger. And then there's tons of different courses. So I would recommend like finding a really good Pinterest course for a blogger. There's tons out there. Simple Pin Media has a bunch of great Pinterest courses and a bunch of great Pinterest content. And that's definitely something I would recommend a blogger or any online business owner to look into.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those training courses will be at the show notes at markaburry.com/E84. And before I ask you to share with us where we can find you on the web, I'd like to flip the tables a little bit and ask you if you could think of one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
I would say the top question is, how are you wasting time? So many people waste so much time every single day, and that holds them back from starting a business. So the number one thing I hear is, well, I don't have time to start a side hustle because, or a side business because I don't have the time to do it. Which I just think is crazy because the average person spends over 30 hours watching TV, over 15 hours a week on social media. So, I mean, that's like a full-time job right there in hours that could be used towards a side hustle. So definitely ask yourself, how much time are you wasting every week?
Michelle, thank you for sharing with us that question we need to be asking ourselves more often and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. And before we go, for all listeners wondering, Michelle, where can we find you on the web?
So I would definitely go to makingsenseofsense.com, and that's where you'll find like all of my personal finance content. If you want to check out my blogging course, makingsenseofaffiliatemarketing.com, or if you want to check out like I RV full-time, travel full-time, definitely go to my Instagram account, which is instagram.com/MichelleShrow.
Michelle, thank you for sharing all those great insights and Breakthrough Success listeners. Those links will be at markaburry.com/E84. Michelle, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markaburry.com/iTunes or markaburry.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets to get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markaburry.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me, mark@markaburry.com, and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Burberry. For more insights, head on over to markaburry.com.